For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Boom! It is Punch Drunk Sports. Thank you guys for tuning in. We got a great show for you. Unfortunately, the king of the lesbians, Jason Tebow, it's a travel day for him. He's traveling right now, much like baseball. That's the only day they get off is when they travel. He's traveling back to the motherland, back to Los Angeles. So it's just a couple of us. Joining us from New York is everyone's favorite Mohawk Hebrew, Ari Shaffir, everybody.
Hello. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. For what a wonderful beginning to a wonderful show. Put your phone away, though. Seriously.
Mo Mandel's calling me. Also joining me in studio, everyone's favorite staff man. He knows. You know him to love him. He speaks English as a second language. Frank Castillo.
Hey.
Right?
Yeah.
How are you?
Fantastic.
How was San Jose?
It was great.
Who'd you go with, Trey and Bobby Lee?
No, but I was in town with Hormoz, and Bobby Lee gave me a guest spot on his Sunday spot.
How packed was it?
It was pretty packed. The first row was good, and then there was little people on the second row. It was nice, man. The weekend was packed for him. It was great.
He's a killer, dude.
Yeah, dude. I've never seen him do a full like headlining set.
How long does he do? I know he used to go short back in the day.
I guarantee he still does.
I think he did 56, about like an hour.
Wow, that's pretty good.
No way! I don't believe that. I believe 38.
Well, because he did the thing where he goes in the audience and does the like you know how he closes and stuff. And
what does he do? He goes in the audience and what?
Oh, like people? No, yeah. He'll jump on like the railing where they're stand like where everyone walks down and he'll shout and then I think he pulls someone on stage and it gives him a good old fashioned rub down.
Oh really,
dude? It was insane.
And how long of that do you think? How long of a set? I mean, how long is that?
Just that portion.
That portion.
Probably like 10 minutes, I think.
Okay. No, I'm happy because I know he used to go early and they used to scream at him.
Really? No.
Like, you can't get off that early, dude. We're doing checks. And it's just like, when you're just doing 50-minute sets forever, half an hour seems forever.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. 15s, it sure does.
Yeah. You're like, fuck. Do you remember your first set when you got a 15-minute spot, Ari? And how
it was so much. I remember going up from 3 to 7 and going like, I don't know how I'm going to fill this time. And then 7 to 15 was the same thing. I was like, I got plenty of time. And then right about 10 or 11, I'm like, oh, I don't have that much time at all.
You know, when you go to these young people, you're like, can I give you some advice? They're like, yeah. I'm like, you got to trim your act. And they're like, oh, but how am I supposed to fill half an hour? There's so much fat on it.
Yeah,
so
it's like, oh, yeah. You're not ready yet. Don't fill half an hour. Really fill 15.
Yeah, and crush 15.
That's what Argus said to me once. Give me good advice. Or maybe it's – no, I know what it was. It was Carl LeBove saying Argus gave him good advice. That's what it was. And he goes – when he was new there, and he goes, how much material do you have? He goes, I got like half an hour. And he goes, cool, you have 15 minutes. Now build your next half an hour, and then you'll have 15 minutes from that.
Yeah, yeah. And it is amazing because you like trimmed. There's no reason to say that. You can just see their hearts.
Yeah, it's like all B-sides.
Yeah.
Your 30 is 15 of real and 15 of B-sides. And it's like, that ain't good enough for the album.
And sometimes you have a line that's so, you love it so much, it just ruins the pace of the joke. You gotta pull it, dude. Right. And it just, no matter how much you love it, you gotta pull it.
Mm. I'm doing that now. Where I add like 2 or 3 extra tags. And then the next tag where I'm paying everything off, they've like forgotten where I was going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, do I gotta lose these?
Yeah.
Maybe you can add them later, but like, yeah, you got to pull them for the sake of the flow.
And you just put them on your little mental shelf, and then you get another joke. You're like, oh, I could use that. I can, boom, I can put it right in there. So it's good.
Bye, baby. Goodbye. I'm sorry, but I have to let you out in the woods now.
Really excited to hear about your dates out the gates, Ari. What is going on in New York?
Well, I'm really excited because in Washington, D.C., I'm going to be there the weekend after this. So in 9 days,
the
I'm going to be
in Washington.
The Improv, the Washington, D.C. Improv. Yeah, dates are available at AriTheGreat.com. It's the first place I did a MC spot, the first place I did a guest spot on the road, the first place I featured on the road. I love that club. It's a great club.
Are there any other clubs in Washington, D.C.?
There's a 930 club for like a whatever, and there's a lot of black clubs, which I don't really know anything about those.
Really? You don't know them? What's up with those white people?
Yeah, there's that. Dude, I went up at a black club in Atlanta that Miss Pat got me a spot at.
Yeah.
Okay. Show's at 9. I get there at 8:45. Let's check in. There's one white guy there. He goes, oh, no. We're not starting until about 9:30, 9:45. I'm like, why did I show? Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I waited and waited and waited. The guy shows up at about 10:10, the MC. And he just runs in. He's like, you're a comic? He's like, what's your name? I told him. He goes, cool. He goes up. He does his like 15, 20 minutes. And he goes, all right, from Nebraska. It's Aaron Smith. And I'm like,
it's ours.
I think that's me.
Yeah, I think that's me.
I waited like 20 seconds. Nobody said anything. So from Nebraska.
They couldn't give a fuck. I remember the first time I got booked at the Improv. Are those all your dates that you want to talk about?
And then I'll be in Montreal doing a live This Is Not Happening, and it's my storyteller shows and my solo shows.
Fuck yeah. Ari Shaffir doing what we call winning in the game.
And I should say Edinburgh, too. If you're going to the Edinburgh Comedy Festival, that's all of August.
You're
going to
be there?
Thursday through Sunday, I'm doing This Is Not Happening storyteller shows.
Oh, it's great.
So, yeah.
It's great. I am going to be, this weekend I'm doing the Ice House. I'm doing 4 shows at the Ice House. The following week I am in La Jolla.
I'm the doing Comedy Store.
Yeah, I'm nice. Doing the La Jolla Comedy Store with John Huck and George Perez.
And
then I'm going to be in San Francisco with Jason Tebow Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm doing a headline spot that someday fucking Molly will finally let me headline the fucking San Francisco Punchline on the weekends.
And if she doesn't, just start doing some Molly.
Yeah, I like it. Well, I'm not going
to. Ultimatum. Ultimatum. I'm going to relapse only on party drugs.
Really? Unless, you think
Sam,
so?
Sam, just put it in your shoe behind you or something.
No, dude, because I have shit going on that I'm doing. I mean, trust me, dude.
It's no, like, I don't. I don't
you
trust you.
Trust me. You should trust me.
Why? You only failed in the past. What are you doing?
What did I do right there? I looked at what time, because at 12:30 we have some fucking great people calling in. I want to see where we are so I can
find
everything.
Okay, great. I get it. Now let me tell you this back. You already put the Mexican in charge of taking those phone calls, so you don't have to look at what time. They will call in.
I do, because we have to plan the show.
Let the Mexican do that.
It's called driving the show.
That's not what a host does. You do the planning before 12 o'clock, Sam, not after 12 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay, give him your phone if you need to check it. Otherwise, turn it off.
Nope.
And put it behind you or something, Sam. What? You're so distracted. You're not being fair to our audience.
I know what I'm doing, Hari. What? I know what I'm doing. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. It's all good. We got a bunch of people calling in real quick. BetDSI.com. Check out BetDSI.com for all your betting needs, especially for this weekend coming up. Hope you guys made some good money off the Women's Soccer fucking World Cup. By the way,
that's the favorites, right?
Yeah. So you probably didn't make any money. Then we also have Caveman Coffee. Go on PunchDrunkSports.com. Check out the website. It's really fucking rocking. And you go to cavemancoffee.com and you can use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK and you'll PUNCHDRUNK Sports and you'll get 10% off and the Amazon link. So good.
I have a problem, speaking of bets DSI. My problem with gambling is that I have trouble taking the favorite. I just feel like if I'm betting $100 and I'm going to win 40, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
If I'm going to bet $40 and win 100, I'm like, I'm in.
Right. Which is,
I want a dream. Well, I'm not a smart bettor.
Well, the key is maybe you do a couple things like they're going to have this many points by this quarter and all that shit. I mean, that's how you get creative with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. Me too. Like, I like to bet the long odds and try to make the big bucks.
19 parlays?
Yeah, that's what I came close. I think I got 8 out of 9 that would have been $1 bazillion. It would have been fucking amazing.
$1 bazillion?
A bazillion. So what else is up, Ari? What's new? Tebow's back, which will be great. We got a lot of people calling in. Do you want to hear?
I played basketball for the first time with a guy who used to play in the N1 leagues. He's a comic.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, Peter Vesey's son, actually. And that was good. Gary Goldman, me, him, Sam Morrill. It's been a while since I played basketball.
How's Gary Goldman?
N1 tapes, bro.
Gary Goldman's a beast. I mean, he's tall and he's big, so it's like tough to like guard him. You really got to lean into him, let him drive you back, because if you go straight up, he'll just knock you over. He plays like Justin Edbrook.
I really like Gary Goldman. When I used to have bad blood with him.
Really?
For no other reason than Dane hated me, and he was kind of running with Dane, so it was like this weird kind of thing, and we kind of almost went at it, and then I realized how huge he was, and then I kind of like, I don't want to get my ass kicked that badly. And then since then, we've always been really cool with each other. I've always really liked him. I think I've always thought he was a great writer, and it's good to see. Because I know he's kind of, Gary's gone into the crowd and started beating the shit out of people. I don't
really?
Know if you've
That's
ever heard
hilarious.
About that. Where he went into the crowd and
some
guy was heckling him, and he just went in there and went, bam, 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 and started just beating the shit out of this guy. And he's a big dude. He's like 6'5". 6'6", right? Ari, how tall are you? 6'4"?
I'm 6'3". I'm 6, and he's like 6'4", 6'5", yeah.
He's a big boy. Is he still married?
No, he's not.
God, why is everybody else just doing this stuff?
It's like they don't listen. They're like, all they hear is like, Gary Goldman got married, so marriage is possible. And they don't hear, Gary Goldman got divorced and she almost stole his house. She made him move out of New York City so far away to have some fucking farmhouse, which she almost ended up losing in the divorce to her. Even though she didn't pay a dime for it. Nobody hears those stories. They just go, oh, that person's getting married.
Yeah. Well, that's women hear what they want to hear. Like, have you seen this thing, Ari, with this Florida State kid? Have you seen this with the Florida State kid?
Yeah, and people go, well, he should never touch a football field again. And it's like, don't you mean he should never go to a bar again? Why are you relating this to his athletic stuff? I don't understand.
And
he's also a member of the AARP or whatever else he is. It's like, you don't say take that away.
Yeah, I got kicked in the face by a chick one time, and I still didn't hit her, and I don't think you should hit chicks. But the notion that it's okay for women to hit men is fucking hilarious. I mean, the fact that we think it's, this chick punched him, kneed him, and then punched him. And then he punched her back. And I'm not saying you should hit women because you should never hit women, but Hollywood's gotten in a real fucking habit of making it funny of chicks hitting guys.
Yeah, like exactly.
There's commercials where the whole punchline is people smacking men. And what happens when you hit men, there are men out there who will hit you back. And the truth of the matter is...
Okay, what's it called? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the truth of the matter is like if this court that he goes to is a real court, He probably will get off because it is self-defense because she hit him first.
And he's already off the football team, though, forever.
Yeah, he's ruined. So she punched him. He's trying to... But this is so... I want to know what...
It's a pretty good video.
It's so interesting, right?
Now,
if you go on TMZ, right, they edited the video on the front page, so it's just him punching her. You don't see her...
That's fucking irresponsible journalism. You're forcing people to think a different way.
Because it doesn't fit the national dialogue.
The riots. That's what started the Rots riots. They cut ABC News and CNN, cut out the first 7 minutes of Rodney King fighting those three cops to a standstill. They cut that out and then started with the cops just going punching at him. And it's like, maybe still is too violent. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But the fact that you're making the story seem like they're just punching him out of the blue is irresponsible journalism. Fuck TMZ. You should go, here's a clip, and then here's the whole thing if you want to see it right afterwards.
See, and she knees him. Do you see that? She knees him and punches him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, like the first punch, if you watch, he doesn't hit her after the punch. She punches. Now she knees. Boom. And then he punches her right there. And then she's
I slapped him. She punched at him.
She punched at him, and then she knees him, and then he punched her. And I'm not saying
I mean, if it's Dan Anik punching, like, Gary Goldman, let's say, you know, some small guy punching a big guy, and then the small guy gets punched, there's not nearly the outrage.
Yeah.
Even a weaker person than that girl, if it's a man, you don't get the outrage. And it's like, Don't punch a guy if you don't have an advantage.
Well,
don't
men know that. Like, that's almost Bill Burr's bit.
I don't insult David Taylor because I know he'd fucking obliterate me.
Really? You think Dave would fuck you up?
Well, like, certain people you don't start with when you know you don't have an advantage. I don't challenge Jordan to a basketball game.
Hold on. You think Dave Taylor could beat the shit out of you?
No. Verbally.
Oh, okay. Well put.
That's what I mean. I don't start arguments with Dave Taylor.
100%.
You know, I don't insult him because it's like, he's going to insult me back better.
Because this is just ridiculous, this whole fucking... I mean, he
shouldn't hit her. I wish this video was longer, because it does show... It, like, he grabs her and shit, but there's like a...
She pushes him, and he emails... I mean, something...
Emails a punch to her face?
Emails a punch.
Look,
www.hamsandwich.com.
She fucking pushes him back. He probably shouldn't have grabbed her.
What?
He probably shouldn't have grabbed her.
Go back to it. Look. This isn't the beginning of it. What it is,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I wish there was more video.
What it is this kid tries to go up to the bar. And I'm not saying that.
Wait, she was a bartender? She was a bartender?
No, she's a patron at the bar.
Look, she's got her.
You know what the bar is like?
Yeah.
I feel
so
like.
He goes to go in, and she kind of just.
Which is already, let me stop you right there. When she gives you the elbow, it's like, I get it.
Yeah,
people are pushing at you, and you want to get them off you. But you're not allowed to be that violent towards someone who probably wasn't pushing you before. Other people were, but this guy wasn't. Yeah. And you just can't be violent like that.
Yeah, you can see she's got her hand on him. I feel like if someone's already touching me, like, I don't like it. Like, I don't like it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, so maybe it's like, rude, but not one of those. You give one of those, it's like basketball.
No, I mean, like the video shows, like, her, like, kind of, she's got her hand already on his chest, like, pushing away. And it's like, if someone's I don't like if someone's like pushing me or touching me anyways, so I'm gonna react that way where I push back.
Let me ask you something, Aaron. Nice shirt. We live? Are we good? What's going on? But are we recording this? Okay, so we're not live. All right. We're having troubles with fucking being live right now. It's fucking fine. It goes back to, it's also about this video game. Have you seen this thing where this Armenian chick is going around trying to make it so? Trying to say that women in video games are treated poorly and that they are treated like sex objects and they're the focus of violence in video games. And to you, I will say to this, everybody in video games are treated like shit.
Most of the time you just want to crash a car. You don't see who's driving.
To win the game, you must die a horrible death multiple times.
Right, yeah, your own person dies.
Right? It's just fucking retarded, dude. It's just retarded.
If you want to say women are underrepresented in video games, like, okay, maybe. That's not a problem with any individual game that's over the industry. But, like, to say they're the target of violence, I don't know, man. It's mostly men in those video games, and everyone's getting killed.
Everybody dies a violent death, but because if she actually said to herself,
Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
Any of them?
If she,
their greed is to kill people, and so it's.
If she would actually said, "Hey, man, I think that we gotta get rid of violent video games,"
that's different.
She would get laughed out of the room. So she has to say something, which is, "Women get treated like shit, and we gotta stop it."
Here's my new realization: a couple things about this stuff. One, these bloggers, especially this relates to stand-up and this stuff. These bloggers have a job. Their job is to write blogs.
Yeah.
So they're not being driven to express themselves by something that really upsets them and then say, that really upsets me. Hey, you know what? I'm going to write about this. What they do is, I need to write a blog every week.
Right.
So, like, what can I be upset about?
Right.
And they're looking for stuff to write about instead of just having things naturally, you know, make them express themselves.
And the more
the money is ruining their position too, just like stand-ups.
And the more traction they get.
Yeah.
The more...
So they want to write about bigger names rather than smaller names.
It's called clickbaiting.
Yeah.
A great example of this is on
there's no author that says, I got to put out a book every 6 months or every year. They put out a book when they have a book that's well-written.
100%, dude. It's like Gawker was put out...
Bloggers are like the fucking cartoonists of the fucking writing world.
And their whole job isn't necessarily to right wrongs, but it's to get as much exposure as possible so they can sell ad space on their blogs and sell books and do tours.
Right, that's how they can modify it. So their blog might be about fashion. It might be about feminist issues. It might be about whatever. But it's like, I know a lot of it, what gets people more clicks is not positive things. It's negative things.
And it's just trying to get people angry.
Yeah, they paint a very negative world instead of, like, you know, really celebrating the positives.
Back when I was a kid, I had a buddy named Marcus from high school. He was black, and he was either thinking about going to Washington State or like Howard, an all black school. And his dad was like, "No, you don't want to go to the all black school because that's not life. Life isn't all black. You know, you have to learn to interact with everybody." And
world.
And the problem is, and the reason I bring that up is because if you went to an all-black school and you were like, racism shit, and we're all going to discuss race, there's no descending voice to go, no, you guys are going a little crazy there. There's just a bunch of people yesing each other, and the crazier it gets, the more and more the yes comes, which is what happens in blogvilles, you know? It's like,
Streaming in an unrealistic world.
It's like
into a different world. It's like saying, only dribble, and now go play in the NBA. It's like, oh, I'm great at dribbling. It's like, yeah, I know, but they didn't prepare you for the other stuff. Somebody's actually going to be defending you. There's shooting involved. There's passing
rebounds.
Involved.
It's what Joe Rogan used to say about Taekwondo. It's like, I was really great at fighting people who were good at Taekwondo. But if they weren't doing Taekwondo, I was fucked.
Right.
But the reason I bring that up is like, all it is these people write these articles that it's like all for this group. It's like the problem with Fox News, the problem with Huffington Post. It's like lately I used to love to go on the Huffington Post, but now it's getting so fucking extreme.
They're looking for money. They're looking for just money instead of like actual good journalism.
And they're just playing to this demographic, this whole thing about not
necessarily. I remember Redman one time when I started my podcast, I had one about anorexia and bulimia. And Redman was like, dude, you got to know your target. And I love Red Band. He helped me get started. Just preface that so he doesn't get mad. But he's like, you got to know your target audience. You got to know our audience.
And hey, Ari, we got a great call coming in. I hate to cut you off on this rant. It's just a good call. I want to take it.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Sam?
I got to take this call.
You interrupt me in the middle of a word because you can't just take it and put him on hold for a minute.
Okay. All right. Go on.
I mean, what are you doing?
Just hanging out?
Let him fucking handle that.
Okay.
Let him fucking take the call and put it on hold till he sees a moment and say, let's take a call. Do you understand? You're not the producer of this, Sam. Let him do that if he's going to do it. And concentrate on the fucking thing. I can see you tune out halfway through when I'm talking. It's fucking annoying, Sam. It's annoying to have to ask you a question. There's video of fucking that guy last week asking you something. You saying something and then immediately go down to your phone. You're not present, Sam, and it fucking sucks. Sucks talking to a brick wall.
All right.
Let's take the caller. What's the caller? Moments passed now.
Please welcome to the show. We're very excited about this. If you've been following the Ultimate Fighter 21, he just got done with an amazing fight. As you know, it's the America's top team, and it's the versus the Black Zillions. He had a great fight versus Jason Jackson. Please, welcome to the show, Michael Graves, everybody. Michael, are you there? Michael, I see your number right there. Where are you? Michael's not there. What's going on here? Michael, are you there? I see him, right?
Yep, that's it.
Michael.
Might have to try to call back.
All right.
Well, here's the deal, Sam. That is a great caller, but he can still stay on hold. Have you ever called him to a radio station?
Yeah.
You can hold for a minute.
I'm sorry. I handled that poorly, okay. Ari.
Apology accepted. Let's move on.
Handled that incorrectly. Let's see if we can get him.
In the meantime, what a great fight. He came back from a knee to the balls.
Oh, dude, it was crazy, man. It was a crazy fight, dude.
I mean, I don't know how when you go down off a knee to the balls, when you see people go, oh, and like fall over, I mean, they are incapacitated.
Yeah.
So that's why they stopped the fight. So like, hold on, that was an illegal hit. The guy can't go on. My dad.
Yeah.
My dad said when they taught him in the Israeli army, when he was faced with two Arabs and no weapons, nobody had any weapons.
Yeah.
Sam, he's going to take care of it.
Go on, I'm listening. Okay, fuck it, we tried. Go on, you were faced with two Arabs. This is your dad.
Sam, let him handle that stuff.
I gotcha.
No, you don't, because you just said you wouldn't do it, and you were still trying to fix it. It was like under 2 minutes later.
Gotcha. Go on with your story, Ari. Okay, Ari just jumped off. Ari just jumped off. Am I wrong with this? I mean, I accept that I don't get, nobody gets it. He doesn't get it, dude. It's like, you don't need me to just sit there staring at you all fucking day. Right? It's just like, you're right fucking here. There's a million things fucking going on. And I can't just leave it to you because you're just new to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I'm just trying to go, so a real human being would just keep fucking talking. He thinks I'm like fucking Twittering and shit. It's not that at all. I'm trying to run a fucking sports show in which he just shows up for. That's all he does. I sent this all fucking week, these fucking three people to call in. It's not fucking easy. And he gets mad at me because he needs my attention. If I'm not listening, it's because I'm trying to set something up, man. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, do you see what I'm doing? I'm not fucking... I'm not Twittering or Instagramming or anything. I'm fucking trying to run a show, a professional show, a show that I would like to build up to a national powerhouse show. That's all I work on. Everybody else just shows up, man. I work on this 7 days a week, this show. And for 2 hours, I'm trying to fucking not let the wheels come off this fucking show. And it just fucking came off the show. I don't know what to tell the kid. It's just, and the biggest problem I have is that these people who listen to the show don't actually pay attention to what's going on. They just listen to him yell and they believe what he's saying. When he's, I get it. Ari's big. Ari's a big comic. He's a national, he's an international headlining comic. And I'm happy. I love Ari. And I get it. But I'm trying to run a real show. And if he would have fucking calmed down, I would have fucking gotten this guy in. And we would have had a real, and instead of fucking you and I just staring at each other right now, we would have had a fucking interview with a guy who's fucking, it's a great story. But he fucking cried like a baby. Interesting. Now, can people call in on this now?
Yeah.
So, I have Tommy Toehold about to call in about 16 minutes.
Yeah, we can still get it.
All right. Oh, I won't carry this fucking thing. I don't give a fuck. So if you guys didn't see the fight, and I, you know, some of you guys I know are going to turn out right now, and that's fine. There's nothing I can do about this. I've tried. I'm trying to do this. You can ask anybody here. I wasn't fucking on my phone. I wasn't doing this. I was just trying to put together a fucking show. And it fucking sucks that that just went fucking south. Because I'll talk all motherfucking day. All right, so we have some people calling in. It's going to be fucking great. This fight was amazing. Did you see the fight?
No, I didn't. I was working. I was stuck at work. But I know it was fucking amazing. I heard the guys talking about
so,
it.
So, yeah, this guy's fighting. This guy, Michael Graves, was fighting. And then this guy's online, and this guy sounds like it's just screaming. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's fighting. He was fighting. What's his name? Fucking Jason Jackson. I'm going to see if I can get our good friend James Collin. Call in, James. In ASAP. He's fighting him, dude. And this guy, Michael Graves, has had the hardest, I think the hardest fights in terms of pressure on this Ultimate Fighting series, which has been great, which is Black Zillions versus American Top Team.
Mm-hmm. ATT is really good, too.
They're both really good, man. And the weird thing is they're only a couple miles from each other, and they're two national powerhouse teams.
Yeah.
And it's always so funny, like the best, with the exception of maybe Greg Jackson's camp, all the great camps are also where all the great strippers are.
Oh, absolutely.
I think there's a weird, I don't think that happened on accident. And they're right next to each other. And what happened was the guy who runs Black Zillions used to work at American Top Team.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to start his own gym. And that's where the rift started.
Oh, okay.
And they really hated each other. Now they hate each other. So they set this up. And because the Ultimate Fighter always has to look for something new to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Because apparently people just don't want to watch fights. I think fights are great. Here it is. Let's see who this is.
Pick it up.
Who is this?
That's him.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Hold on.
Okay.
I got it. Do it. Please welcome to the show. Please welcome to the show after some technical difficulties. We're very excited to have him on from Tough Enough, the Ultimate Fighter 21. We got from the ATT Fighting Camp. Please welcome Michael Graves, everybody.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Dude, thank you for having me on. Sorry about the chaos. Our Skype system was a little off. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. You had an amazing fight. We'll get into it. You've been fighting, training American Top Team. You're 4-0 in sanctioned fights. And what has been the experience of being on this season of The Ultimate Fighter, where you guys are taking on, I guess, your rivals, the Black Zillions? How's it been to be on the show?
It was definitely different, you know, being around all the cameras and stuff, and it was hard for everybody. It's being on the show, I obviously didn't like it too much because I didn't really have a whole lot of free time, you know. And I, as a fighter, I think it's good to be a little bit selfish and to take time for yourself, and it's hard to do that when you're with 15 other people and you have a bunch of cameras around you all the time. But looking back on it now, it's great for my experience. You know, it was a very hard test, and it's just going to make me better.
Yeah, it was a great fight. Now, there's been a couple pressure fights in this season. Obviously, every fight is a pressure fight, but I think a couple of them have been a little more pressure. And I think you had two of the most high pressure fights, and obviously the first one. You're the first fight of the season, and it's kind of setting the pace for the whole season. And then you had the elimination fight, which was got to be high pressure right there. If you lose, the show's over. Explain kind of like the feeling from the first fight to the last fight.
Yeah, you know, like you said, all the fights are pressure fights, but that first fight was big for us. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, I got things off to the wrong foot with losing that fight. I felt like if I would have won the fight and did what I know I can do, it would have, you know, changed the momentum of things. And it was different. You know, there's never been a team format in MMA. And, you know, we know from, like, watching baseball and basketball and football and stuff, you know, one team might be better. But if one team starts to pick up momentum and starts to do things, you know, one play can lead to another play, can lead to a touchdown or whatever, and that's what I was worried about. And going into the last fight, obviously everybody knew the way the tournament was formatted with the points and everything like that. So the last four fights were worth 100 points. So those were the big pressure fights, in my opinion. And you know, we were down obviously, but we did a good job, everybody on our team, in keeping a positive attitude going to that last week. And we were, you know. If you take back any interview from any of us, we always kept a positive mind frame. We were all very confident that we were going to pull it out in the end. And, you know, it's just one of those things you got to get used to. And like I said, you know, it was tough being in there, but I'm glad, you know, it's good for my experience.
Yeah. Oh man. It's such an amazing, like following your story throughout the whole season has been a real fun thing to watch because it was somewhat, everything's editing, dude, obviously. We don't know what was edited or how it was edited. But it seemed like after your loss, you kind of gone into a little, you kind of got introverted. I don't want to say depressed, but it seemed like you were a little more introverted. They kind of played it off like you were kind of starting to enjoy your time, like drinking and stuff like that. Was that true? Did you kind of, because you were 4-0 before this fight. And I know these aren't sanctioned fights. These are more like exhibition fights. But did it kind of have a mental effect on you?
Yeah, you know, it did. I definitely was drinking a little bit, obviously. And, you know, it's not the best thing. It's definitely a crutch, and it's something I'm trying to get past. But, you know, like I said, a loss sucks, you know, either way. And I think I kind of took it harder because my team and my coaches – had faith in me for that first fight going in there against anybody. And it was my job to bring the fight back home and to set not only me, but my team on the right track. You know what I mean? And I feel like me losing kind of gave them the momentum. And I think that's what kind of got under my skin the most. You know what I mean? I felt like, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth fight had something to do with me because initially I set our team on a losing note.
This is a hard thing because a lot is on the line. And a lot is on the line. For, I mean, you fighters, there's a lot of credibility of the gyms. Even though both gyms are highly revered and seen as, like, the best of the best, now you're taking on your rivals. For people don't... People might not understand the rivalry between ATT and the Black Zillions. Can you kind of give us a little feeling of what that actual what it's actually like to be in this rivalry?
Yeah, you know, there's the rivalry has kind of like crossed generations. I got to American Top Team, you know, after everything was said and done. You know, when I first got to the American Top Team, no disrespect to them, I didn't even really know too much about the Black Zillions. I thought it was just kind of where, like, big name fighters like Rashad and Alistair Overeem and guys like that just kind of got together and kind of did their own camps. I didn't really know everything that went down years back when the guys left until the show started to air. And after that, you know, it basically just crossed paths with generations, and it's just, you know, it is kind of like it is a big rivalry, you know. That's There's a lot of bad blood between American Top Team and Black Zillions, honestly. And like Nate Coy said at the end of my in one of the interviews, you know, the rivalry is not going to stop with the end of the show. You know, it's going to keep going.
It's probably going to get worse. It's probably going to get worse.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of guys may, like, hate on the fact that there's a rivalry or whatever. But for me, I kind of like it, you know, because it gives me – you know, something to train for. It kind of gives me, it gives me fire, you know what I mean? And I like that. You know, I grew up in Ohio, and one of the biggest things in Ohio is the Michigan-Ohio State football game.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yep. I was thinking.
Yeah, and you know what? And then not only does that do everything for everybody else, not only does everybody get so excited, I mean, everybody in the state and both states get very excited, but it does a lot for the guys. You know, you see guys who, you know, maybe start off as freshmen or sophomores or whatever, and they go through those big games, and they're completely different athletes ever after that, because that rivalry, you know, it's like, you know, there's so many times where, you know, Michigan may be ranked first or Ohio State may be ranked first or whatever, and the other team may not even be ranked, but when they go in there, it's like anybody's ball game. You know what I mean? Because that rivalry is so crazy, and it's just, you know, it just makes things way more interesting, you know?
100%, and I mean, because... and then I want to get in your fight, but how close are the two gyms to each other? A lot of people don't know this. Like, they're not that far from each other, right?
Yeah, they're like 20 minutes away. You know, they're right down the road.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So let's get into your fight, because I thought it was amazing. There's one tomorrow night's the finale of the series. It's been a great series so far. You did the first fight, and you did obviously this last fight was the second to last fight. You were taking on Jason Jackson from the Black Zillions, who had won his first fight. This is all the pressure again is on you, because if you lose, the series is over. The show's over for this season, mm-hmm. and it's done. You go into it. What's going through your mind, and can you kind of take us through the fight as it happened?
Yeah, you know, what was going through my mind was just getting that loss back, not only for myself, but for my team, and doing whatever the hell I had to do to get that win. You know, I was ready to go in there. I was ready for whatever in that cage, and I obviously didn't anticipate the groin strike and to get followed up on the way it happened. But like I said, I was ready for anything.
The way it happened is so unusual, because you go for a high kick, he goes for a leg kick or a midsection kick, and he catches you under your leg into the nuts. And when they played in slow-mo, you realize how hard you got hit. What were you thinking when the ref didn't stop the fight at that moment? Because everything's moving so quickly, and obviously when you're in a fight like this, people pounce. What was going through your head?
A lot was going through my head. I was, you know, I was just like, initially I was like, damn. And then I was like, double damn, the ref's not even stopping this. You know what I mean?
That's got to be rough.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, you know, Like you said, I'm 4-0 as a pro in sanctioned fights. I'm 8-0 amateur. And, I was thinking, you know, these are the fights that everyone's going to see. You know, these are the fights that everyone's going to see. My first loss and now this. And, you know, I was so you know, I was so constricted. My body was tensing up so much from the groin strike that it took all the energy just to stay on my knees and to keep moving and to try to go for a shot. And, you know, I just never had quit in my mind. You know what I mean? I knew it was getting bad. I knew I was getting beat. I was close to getting stopped, and I just didn't say quit once in my mind, and I just had to keep moving. And,
so
you know, all I could say is I never said die, you know what I mean? At one point in my mind, I never had that, I'm done. You know what I mean? I kept saying, you know, I'm good, I'm getting beat up, but I'll be all right. Keep moving. Find a way out, and I eventually did.
Yeah, we're talking with Michael Graves from the Ultimate Fighter 21. He's on American Top Team. He was in the last fight. So you're down. We're going to have to wrap it up in a few, but you're down. You're getting striked. What is going through your head? And now you're right next to your camp, right? What are they telling you mm-hmm. right there? What are they? Because that's, I think, you know, sometimes there's luck in anybody who wins. You can say that about the Golden State Warriors winning their championship right now, how they didn't have any injuries, and everybody they took on had injuries. You get lucky, mm-hmm. you're right next to, even though you got a groin site, you're right next to your camp. What are they telling you?
I couldn't hear a thing.
Oh, man. My God.
I just heard, you know, usually there's not people that are that close to the cage that are screaming, you know, usually like in fights, people are kind of separated from the coaches. And usually the only people that are cage side are like the judges and people from the commission and things like that. And, you know, those people aren't usually yelling and stuff. I couldn't hear a thing. It was so chaotic. I looked back watching the show and I didn't feel like it even captured how crazy it was when I was there. You know, obviously it was more crazy for me because I was in the middle of it, but it was so loud in there. I couldn't hear a thing. You know, I couldn't separate anything. It was just, I was just hearing a bunch of noises.
So the ref is going, hey, you got to do something. Jackson strikes the back of your head, buys you a little time. It's an illegal strike, buys you a little time. What are you telling to the ref at this point? Take me through this part real quick.
Well, what did I say to the ref?
Yeah, well, because he's got to be asking you if you're going to be, are you okay? Can you keep going? I'm going to stop the fight. I've always wanted to know, what do you say to the ref at that moment?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening to him. You know, I'm not trying to talk back to the ref. I'm just trying to listen to what he says and just keep fighting.
And somehow you flip, dude. You were so. I was screaming. My girlfriend was sleeping, and I was screaming for you to win. So you flip it. You get under his legs. You lift him up. And what's going through your mind right now? Just kill, right? Just get this guy's back and choke him out.
Yeah, what's going through my mind is, you know, I got him. The momentum, not only in my fight, but in the whole tournament, has just changed right now with one move. And I kind of felt like he was a little bit gassed from exerting so much, and not only exerting those big shots, but when you feel like you're going to win, you kind of get excited too. And when the tides change, you know, it's kind of like, fuck, you know, you're kind of down. And, you know, I'm very good in the back. When I get somebody's back, I don't care who it is. It could be anybody in the world. They're in trouble. And, I knew he wasn't getting away. When I locked up that body triangle, it was just a matter of time.
Wow, man. What a great fight. Michael Graves, what a great fight, man. I don't know you, but man, I'm so proud of you. I was really happy for you, and I'm so excited. Now, I know you can't tell us what happens tomorrow night or whether you're fighting or all that stuff, but I wish you nothing but love and success, and hopefully are they going to do like a big finale like they always do at the end in Vegas? Do you know if they're doing that?
Yeah, they are. The finale is going to be Sunday, and I can't give any information on who's going to be fighting, but, you know, all the guys will be there.
Awesome, man. Awesome, dude. I'm really excited. I hope to see you fight because I'd love to see you fight again. You earned it, man. You did a great job. Thank you so much for calling in. Sorry about the technical difficulties earlier. Where can people follow you? What do you want to promote?
I got a Twitter, you know, Graves MMA. I also got an Instagram. And that's it right now. I haven't been on my Facebook in too long, so if you sent me a friend request, I'll be on there soon. I have a little trouble with my Facebook. I had a few different people working that for me, and it just got, I ended up mishandling the password, and somebody gave me the wrong info, so I'm trying to get that fixed. So if you sent me a friend request on Facebook, just give me a little bit of time. I'm still working on that, but my Twitter and my Instagram are up, so if you want to follow me on there, I'm on that, and that's about all I got to plug right now.
All right, Michael, thank you so much, man. Again, congrats on the fucking amazing fight. You are awesome. I'm really excited to see what happens to you in the future. Look forward to seeing you fight in the UFC, and good luck in the finale if you're in it, man. Good luck on everything.
Cool, man. Thank you. And thank you guys for having me on your podcast.
Anytime. Hope to have you on again. Take care, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Michael Graves, that was a fun interview. I'm going to be honest. I was flustered. I was flustered at what just happened before that. So my interview wasn't the smoothest, I'm going to be honest with you, but I was really happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was really great, man. If you get a chance, go watch that fight, because that guy really is down and done. He's done. And by 9 out of 10 times, a ref stops that fight.
Yeah.
And, dude, he just
kicks
stayed
to the
in.
Groin? Yeah.
Oh, my. Dude, that wasn't even it.
Takes balls.
And this guy, I forgot to ask him. They did a great interview after on the after every Ultimate Fighter, they do like a mm-hmm. recap.
Yeah.
And they had an interview with him and Graves. Fuck, Ari, I just want to kill him. I had so much I wanted to talk to that guy about. But they had an interview, and you know, I don't know this guy, Jackson. I'm sure he's a nice guy, too. You know, I'm sure they're both nice guys. Like, James, the guy on our show, just called them waxillions. It's like, I don't have anything against either side. They're both really, I'm sure they're both great camps, man.
Great play on words, though. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Really?
No.
Really? I just got something from James. What did it say? Great job on the interview. Great job. Thank you. Everyone thinks Ari's being a diva, which I totally agree with. So that was a lot of fun, man. The guy's a great fighter. I had a great, I really want to get my interviewing skills about, but the reason I brought up that Ultimate Fighter, the interview after, cause the other guy, Jackson, I wanted to ask him if he had a Jerry curl. I think the Jerry curl's back.
He's probably bringing it back.
Yeah. That's why I'm flustered that Ari ruined that moment because I had so much stuff I wanted to talk about. And you guys can all ask Frank. If I'm just fucking off on social media, I'm not. I'm running a fucking show. And the fact that Ari says to me, I'm not a producer.
I feel like a stepchild is weird.
No, you don't have to. you don't have to get in the middle of it, but you can be honest. Am I fucking around on shit?
No, you're doing a lot of things, but maybe I should start doing a little more, you know?
Yeah, I get that. And I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about exactly what
yeah,
I need
man,
to do.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'd be more than happy to do that and keep you less distracted.
But the notion that I'm not a producer is crazy. Because I produce this podcast. I mean, we have those guys who call in, and we give them free reign to call in when they're on. But this guy, this next two guys are going to call in, I set up and set that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like I tell Vicente the name of the episode, and I break down what happened in the episode on SoundCloud. I do all that. He just shows up, and I'm thankful. Ari is the blonde with big tits on the show. He's the famous guy, and he's a great comic, and he's a good friend. But the notion that I don't do anything is fucking crazy. And I'm not asking for any kind of, oh, yay, Triple, here's an award. But to sit there and fucking call me out like that is just ridiculous.
Is that the one that hurt your feelings?
No, but it just lets you know, like, what how out of touch those guys are with what happens on the show. It's not just a show up and do a podcast and upload it. It's a fucking moving, living thing that has a fucking website that's really fucking great. And everything we do on the show, everybody else rips off. All the other sports comedy podcasts have ripped this show off. They all do it. Because we fucking, it's not just a podcast. It's a fucking, it's a whole thing, man. It's just crazy. And it's upsetting that he fucking did that. We got another guy calling in a few that I'm very excited about. He's kind of big in the
Tommy Toehold?
Yeah, he's got a really great really great YouTube channel.
Great name, too.
It's right here. Here, click it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a cartoon. He's going to call in a couple minutes. Man. A lot of crazy shit going on. Did you guys watch the world? I don't want to get into, off of MMA. Are you going to, now that you're on the show, do you follow MMA a little more?
Well, I mean, I've always watched, I mean, most of the time that I'm working is like when the fights are going on, so I never get a chance to watch, but I still keep up on it. I mean, I read like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu stuff. It's like, I still love watching
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Dude, I love watching Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's always been like my dad was a wrestler in high school, and I never got to play sports because my mom thought I'd get hurt.
Really?
Yeah, my mom's really protective.
Yeah, all moms are.
But then I started wrestling, and that was, I just started doing jiu-jitsu, and that was a lot of fun. I'm going back into it again.
Yeah, you and Steve?
Yeah, me and Randolph. Yeah.
Randolph's a little crazy, right?
Dude, I love Randolph. He reminds me of my cousin, who is also as crazy. He's the best, man.
How's Joey Diaz doing at this? How's he doing at jiu-jitsu?
Well, I only went that one time. I got to go back to sign up, but I haven't gone back lately. But he was there the next week I didn't go. Randolph got to see him, though.
Yeah, Randolph's been doing it for a while. I'm thinking about getting back into Thai boxing. I keep talking about it. Jiu-jitsu, I'm just not limber.
You'll get limber, man.
Here, okay. We got a great caller calling in. Very excited. We kind of set this up earlier and talked about it. But joining us on the show, he's got a great YouTube channel. I'm a big fan of his stuff. I'm really happy he's on. Please welcome from the... hold on, what are we doing here? Boom. From the Tommy Toehold show, my good friend Tommy Toehold. How are you, buddy? Sorry about that.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Did you get tongue-tied?
Thanks for calling in, dude. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm fucking jacked. This is awesome.
Really, man, you got a great show. Your YouTube page is amazing. Kind of break us down. How'd you come up with the Tommy Toehold show?
Honestly, this is like just a giant accident. I have no fucking clue how any of this happened. I was a teacher, and I lost my job because they made budget cuts. So as I was looking for other work, I wanted to do like an MMA blog, but my camera just blew dicks. So I was like, well,
in a good way or a bad way? In a good way or a
bad way?
In a bad way.
When you say blue dicks, like the camera sucked dicks or the camera shot dicks out?
Yeah. No, it didn't actually suck any dicks, sadly. But no, it was garbage. And I thought, okay, well, I've got Photoshop and I can make a mouth go up and down. So maybe I'll make a cartoon. So I did the exact same blog that I'd already written. And it was about, I don't even know what the fuck at the time. But it was terrible, too, because it wasn't funny. You're looking at a cartoon, and he's talking about things seriously. It was stupid. So I was like, okay, well, it's got to be funny. And the name, I just thought, okay, well, then some sort of alliteration. I was going to name him Tommy Toughnuts, like a fake tough guy. But
yeah.
Somebody already fucking took that on YouTube. So I had to come up with something else.
Somebody already took Tommy Toughnuts?
I don't know who that guy is. I don't know what his YouTube channel is doing. But, yeah, that guy's already got that channel. So I had to go with Toehold just because, I wanted alliteration and you had the two T's and Toehold something in MMA. So that's kind of how that happened.
That's and so it's kind of taken off. You're kind of known as a big personality in the MMA community. A lot of people like you, and your videos are great. You got a new one out called The Brief History of MMA. And basically how many videos do you put out? You put out one a week, one a month. How's it go?
Well, it depends. When I'm really productive, one every day. When I'm not so productive, I used to do just one a week, but then people wanted a lot more. So I usually do maybe three or four a week. But ideally, I would like to do them every day.
God, that's great, man. Now, do you go to the fights a lot? Or have you gone to a lot of UFC fights? Do you do interviews? Do you do all that stuff?
I've only been to a few UFC fights, actually, and that was because of Tommy. I got to go, and it was pretty fucking cool. I got to meet some of the fighters that I've been making fun of, which was a little bit nerve-wracking. But, yeah, no, it's been cool in terms of that. But I've gone to a few here and there, but I do watch all the fights and keep up with all the news constantly.
Does the cartoon really look like you, or did you go just completely different?
I mean, I don't have hair and I have a beard.
But you're not black.
that's the thing. Okay. I just picked a color because I was like, okay, well, I want him to have like a tan. I didn't even realize that a lot of people thought Tommy was black. But I guess he is. I don't know. I have
He's
no
either
idea
black or Mexican, bro. You're either a brother or a cholo, bro.
He's a bro.
Yeah. So that came up and, I don't know what the fuck Tommy's supposed to be. I'm Greek, so I've got a little bit of like of an olive complexion, so that's kind of where that came from. But I can't draw for shit, so that's why we're all confused about what Tommy is now.
Are you gonna have a bunch of relatives from Greece moving in pretty soon after what? How it's going over there?
Oh, yeah, what? they're all gonna come over, and it's gonna be one big happy fucking Greek family.
Yeah. So let's get into it. We just had Michael Graves from the Tough Enough, the Ultimate Fighter 21 on. Have you been following this series this season, and do you like it?
Honestly, I haven't been following this one. I usually, I know it sounds bad, but yeah. there's so many Ultimate Fighters that I usually end up just watching them after the fact.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the last thing, I think the last one I watched live was Jones, Sonnen, when they had Uriah Hall on there. I think that was the last one I watched, like, outright when it was happening.
This has been a really good season. I know a lot of people have kind of started to tune out the series, but this series was, they hit a real home run on this one in that these two gyms obviously hate each other. ATT and the Black Zillions. And we just had Michael Graves on. I don't know if you heard about his last fight, but he literally gets kicked in the nuts. And Jason Jackson jumps on him, and he's almost out, and he turns around and chokes him out. It's a really amazing series going on.
Speaking of tough nuts.
Yes. Speaking of tough nuts, boom. let's get into the UFC coming up. Thoughts on it so far. Word is McGregor has to drop 27 pounds by Friday. What do you think about that?
I honestly think that's kind of his deal. Like, if you look at his past fights, interviews before the fights, all he ever talks about is how he makes his money from cutting weight. Like, that's where the money comes in. That's the hard part for him. So I have a feeling he'll be able to do it. If you look at him before the cut, he looks like completely emaciated, but he manages to, I don't know what the fuck they do, IVs or whatever. But I think he'll be able to make it. I think he'll look fucking gigantic next to Chad Mendez on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, man. They have some bad blood. You know, McGregor said he's going to drop his nuts on his face, which is interesting. Obviously, you enjoy the fight game. I don't know if you ever got into boxing, if you were a boxing fan at all. I mean, I've always loved the guys who could talk a good game, the hype of fight, obviously Muhammad Ali and, you know, and everybody after that. A lot of pro wrestling. Really, I enjoy that. Do you enjoy Conor McGregor shit talking? And at any point has he gone too far?
I absolutely love it. You know, anytime anybody does something goofy in MMA, I'm so psyched because I get to make fun of it on the show. And Conor McGregor, he's been one of my most requested characters ever since he came around. But yeah, no, I think it's all part of the show. I don't really think he's gone too far. I mean, he says some goofy shit, and the good thing about shit talking and fighting is the other person gets to punch you in the face if they don't like it. You know what I mean? It's like, so I don't feel too bad about some of the stuff he says. I don't think he's crossed the line too many times, but I fucking love it. And I agree. It's one of those things where it is a sport, and that is a part of it, but the promotion is a huge part of it too, and selling fights. I mean, anybody that fights Conor McGregor should be thanking him because, I mean, look at Jose Aldo. His draws were not very good, but this Conor McGregor fight was projecting to be really, really high selling until he broke his ribs. So to me, that's the kind of person that people should be wanting more of in MMA.
Do you have a problem with them stripping, although not really stripping, but making this fight an interim belt? Do you have a problem with it? Because Aldo has dropped out five times, has pulled out from five fights. Is it an issue for you? Do you see it as this is just another UFC ploy to get Conor McGregor gold around his fucking waist?
Look good for pictures. It's one of those things that I kind of get it in terms of the sell. Like, I was looking at it from the promoting perspective when I'm thinking about what the promoters are doing. And, you know, making two title fights on the same night was one of the big draws of this card, and also Conor McGregor. So having him in a title fight still, I think, was a big thing. And, you know, it's an interim title. It's one of those things that we know, you know, Jose is going to come back eventually, and then he'll be able to unify the titles if they get in a fight or whatever. So, to me, I don't think it's a big deal. Now, if they had, like, stripped him completely and said, you're not champion anymore, that would have been kind of ridiculous. But,
right. Yeah,
making an interim title, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think the UFC kind of heard people crying about how weak some of their pay-per-view fights are. I mean, it's like you have one championship fight on there, because that used to be the old thing, one great fight on there. But if that fight gets pulled, you got a card of nothing. And so I think lately they've been putting on two title fights on their pay-per-view, which is what they should do. and I think it's playing better. The Robbie Lawler fight is getting zero traction, and I think it's a phenomenal fight. Well, but we'll get into that. Let's get into the Conor versus Menendez fight. What do you think about it? What's your take on it? And who do you think's going to win?
Well, to me, the unknown is, can Conor McGregor handle a wrestler? That's the one thing that we just don't know yet. And I think that's going to be the deciding factor in this fight. So it's hard to make an actual prediction. I know that's lame to not actually make one. But I think if Conor is not going to be good against wrestlers, Chad Mendez is going to have a hell of a night. He's going to be on top of him all night, and it's going to be real bad for Conor McGregor. If Conor McGregor can stop takedowns, he is long as fuck. He's huge for that division.
He's huge for that weight division. Humongous for that weight division.
Massive. He's super accurate striker. He's the most accurate striker on this entire card, and he hits like a fucking truck. So if he can stop takedowns, I think he could stop Chad Mendez. But if he can't, Chad Mendez is taking it no problem, I think.
McGregor's 100% for takedown defense.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
stopped
but
everyone?
Then again, so is Chad Mendez, but his
but
takedown
problem-
accuracy is 54%.
But the problem is like the UFC has been very good at picking his opponents for him.
Yeah.
And this is literally, would you say this is his first real test? I mean, did Dennis Seaver?
No, I mean, Menendez.
Do we see him as, Tommy, do we see him as, and Dennis Seaver as a real threat? Was that a real fight? Or, I mean, obviously it was a real fight, but did we see it as a threat? Or do you see Chad Menendez as his first real competition?
I don't think Dennis Seaver was in the same caliber. Maybe earlier in his career. Dennis Seaver's been around for quite a while, and I don't think he was really up to task for that particular fight. But I do think that he has not faced any wrestlers of real note. But in terms of actual competition, Dustin Poirier is an excellent fighter.
I agree
and,
with that.
He knocked
My
him
apologies.
Out in the first
yes.
round. No, that's fine. Yeah, and then I think Max Holloway, young guy but always game, really tough fighter. And he beat Max after he injured himself. Conor fucked his knee up in the first round and still went all three rounds. So he has not been tested at the level of Chad Mendez, though. But I do think that he's not some sort of a flash in the pan. A lot of people are wondering, like, hey, you know, is Conor just going to all of a sudden fade out after five or six fights? I don't see that. There's things that he does with his striking, and it's pretty incredible. I would be shocked if suddenly he just fell off. But I do think that this is absolutely his biggest test. And this will be the deciding factor of whether or not he's going to be that champion caliber fighter.
Do you think so? Who do you got? Who do you think's going to win this fight?
I mean, for business purposes, I think I want Conor to win this
right.
one. I really like the guys at Team Alpha Male. They're actually some of the only fighters I have met. I met them at a UFC event, and they were really cool about it. But yeah, I guess you know if you were forcing me to pick right this second. I guess I'm going to say Conor. I know there's a hype train and everybody thinks it might not be true, but I just feel like, you know, I don't see him getting finished by Chad Mendez. So if he's going to have five rounds to work and every one of those rounds is going to start on the feet, if he can stop some of those takedowns, I don't know. I think he could, with the power that I've seen from him, I could see him getting a knockout.
No, I totally, I'm going to go with Conor McGregor too. I think it is a different fight than the, if he fought Aldo. I found it really, I mean, he's so much bigger than Aldo, I could see that, but, like, the notion that Aldo would be scared of him is, the guy's got a giant fucking knife wound on his face. I mean, like, what are you going to do to that guy that hasn't been done before? I mean, the guy grew up in the slums of Brazil. I mean, I don't think he's afraid of Conor McGregor. I think it would have been a different fight. I found it really hard to root against a guy who's won 18 in a row. But I think this fight's a little different. So I'm going to go with McGregor, too. Let's go really quickly in to Robbie Lawler versus Roy McDonald. Ooh. How do you think this plays out?
USA versus Canada.
I love Robbie Lawler. I like both of them. I like Roy McDonald. I don't think you have to be a nice guy. I think you can be pompous. I don't mind my fighters having a little attitude. But by the way, Roy McDonald's new name is the Red King, by the way. If you're one, he went from Canadian Psycho to the Red King.
A lot of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. How do you see this fight playing out?
Well, these two have fought before, and it went to a split decision. It went all five rounds. Actually, I think it was a three-rounder. It wasn't the main event. But to me, I think it's going to go very similarly. The thing about Robbie Lawler is he is a fucking Terminator. It's ridiculous how durable this guy is. The last time he was knocked out was over a decade ago by Nick Diaz. So in terms of a fight getting stopped, I think this one goes to a decision. And I think it's going to be a close decision because of the type of fighter that Rory McDonald is. Because of that, though, and it being a title fight, I really don't see the judges giving a split decision championship over to another fighter. So that is why I think Robbie Lawler ends up winning. I think he wins a split decision.
And what happens to Rory McDonald after that? It's an interesting thing when a guy is such a great fighter, but then he can't beat this one guy. Like, we kind of saw it with Ben Henderson after, obviously, who'd he lose his belt to? What's his name?
Pettis.
Pettis. You know, I mean, this is a guy who fought Pettis twice, lost both times, and now kind of Ben Henderson has kind of been this nomad, kind of trying to find a place for him in the MMA world. What do you think happens to McDonald after, if he does, in fact, lose to Lawler again?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he moves around, you know, goes to a different weight. He is so freaking talented. It's ridiculous. And he's one of those fighters that, ridiculous. I mean, this is a guy who has trained, you know, Joe Rogan talks about this all the time in his commentary about him. He has specifically just trained mixed martial arts. It's not like he came from like a judo background or jiu-jitsu or boxing, whatever. He has started with MMA specifically and has been training for that for forever. This is a guy that trained with GSP for a really long time. This is a super high level guy. So yeah, the fact that he can't get over the hump, it's kind of crazy. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe he should think about moving divisions. If he can't get over the hump here, but I'm not sure if he's going to want to do that. I don't know.
It's crazy, right? It's so weird how, like back in the day, there used to be this weird triangle of fighters, and it used to involve Chuck Liddell, Rampage Jackson, and Vanderlei Silva, right? And it's like, Vanderlei Rampage couldn't beat Vanderlei Silva. And Vanderlei Silva could beat Chuck Liddell. But Rampage could beat Chuck Liddell. It was like this weird thing where, like, one guy couldn't beat the other guy, but the other guy could beat the other guy, and it was like this weird vicious circle, triangle. But now it's like only Rampage left. But it's just weird when you have one guy you can't beat. You can beat everybody in the world. Let's take Anderson Silva. He can beat everybody in the world except for one guy, and that's the guy on top of the 185. It's fucking crazy, right?
Yeah, it is. It's MMA math is insane because you see a guy, he's like, oh, well, he beat this dude, so he should be able to beat this guy. But he can't. And it's really interesting. It's so much about styles in MMA, and certain guys just give people problems bad, or certain specific fighters. And I think that's maybe what you see with Rory and Robbie.
100. Now, listen, I have to ask you about a really big fight coming up. I don't know if you follow Punch Drunk at all or know anything about us, but there is a fight that might have just gotten a little bit more of a reality today.
Oh, you and Ari?
Yeah. before you called in, Ari Shaffir went all fucking snarky gay on me, got gay snarky, and stormed off the show because he doesn't think I'm a producer.
Oh,
yeah. He's not have you heard Ari so far? No. He's on the show, and he fucking got angry, and he's left it to me and the Mexican to fucking run everything. By the way, who looks
Mexican.
Just like Tommy Toehold, by the way, if you're wondering what our Mexican looks like.
Just if I shave my head. Yeah, Tommy Toehold looks like if I worked out.
By the way, that is your new Halloween costume. Who are you going as? I'm going as Tommy Toehold. But me versus Ari, Jew versus Armo. I don't know. I know you're going on a limb. Any thoughts on this fight?
Okay, so I anticipated that this might happen. So I did a little bit of research. I did some visual research, and I needed some comparison. So I got pictures of you guys by Joe Rogan so I could compare by the measurement of Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Just to see kind of where we're looking at body-wise. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Ari is a little bit taller. Am I right in saying that?
Ari is taller, Ari has longer reach, and Ari is a year and a half younger.
Wait, he's a year and a half younger?
Yeah.
Than
okay. I think he's like 41.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so, he's got the size advantage on you. But
I've been taking martial arts for a good portion of more of my life than I did.
But how long has it been since you've taken it?
Well, I was just taking Thai boxing for a while, and I'm going back to it. I didn't take jiu-jitsu. I tried taking it with Eddie Bravo, but I'm just not limber. I would name the moves by the year I thought I could do them. Way back in the day, I was like, this one's the 2012, and I would never be able to do it.
You just lie down.
So I have that on Ari. I've sparred. I've done all that stuff.
I feel like you could take a punch, though.
That's well, see, that right there. Okay, that's all I needed to hear then, because the reach and size advantage doesn't mean shit if he's never fought before, because he's going to have his chin out. He's going to have his hands down. Obviously, I know Ari's a big fight fan. He's probably, you know, I'm sure he knows what to do correctly. But in the heat of the moment, you know, when you're fighting somebody you hate so much, I really feel like he might make a mistake. So I'm going to have to go with you. I'm going to say that you would take that, especially with your background.
Dude, thank you, dude. That was awesome. Hey, man, I really enjoyed having you on the show. I hope you had a good time, too. Sorry you didn't get the full Punch Drunk Effect. Our good friend Jason Tebow's traveling from Chicago. He's moving back to L.A. And Ari just went gay snarky and stormed off. And so I'm sorry you didn't get the full effect. But, man, you were excellent on the show. And I would love it if maybe before every pay-per-view we could do something where you call in and we'll sit down and we'll break down the fights, man.
I would fucking love that. That would be so awesome. And thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge fan of all you guys, and this has just been really, really cool.
If you ever need anybody on your cartoons, let me know. I'd love to fucking do it. I'd love to fucking do it. Do you got any shout-outs or anything you want to say to the fans listening right now?
No, not really. Thanks for having me on. Tommy Toehold.
There we go.
I gotta give him the old-fashioned.
Gave it the old-fashioned. He's great, man. He's got some great cartoons. I want to start trying to get more people to call in. Now, MMA is the most accessible because it's literally like new media. They take advantage of all the new media, whereas the other sports, everything's impossible to get a hold of anybody.
MMA fighters, they're just fighters.
Yeah.
Can we get amateur porn stars in here?
Should we try calling Ari again?
It's up to you, man.
Let's call him. Let's see if he goes fucking gay snarky. Yeah, hit him up. Call him. Let's see if he calls. Let's see if we get him. So let's talk about my interviewing skills. What'd you guys think?
That was good. You did good. You held
you know, I realized that the night I got... I normally don't do a show on Monday nights. That's usually my night off.
Yeah.
But I like an idiot, I went and did Jay Davis' show. I'm going to have to sit down and come up with 5 questions to ask these guys. Who's not answering?
Oh, no.
Oh. Let's take a call. Hello, you're on with Punch Drunk Sports, Sam and the Mexican. Who's this?
What's up? It's the Tranny Correspondent.
Tranny Correspondent, thank you for calling in. What's up, buddy?
Not much, just enjoying NBA free agency. I think it's the most exciting time of the season for the NBA after the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's
more exciting than the regular season.
I don't know about that, but it is really fun. I mean, the numbers that these guys are getting right now, like everyone's like, I can't believe how much money these guys are getting paid. But it's like, you got to think about it, man. That's how big the sport has gotten. That someone like KG McDaniels can get fucking like a $70 million contract when most people couldn't even pick him out. Of a fucking, from a crowd of people. Maybe you could, because you're like, I'm going to go with the 6'9 black guy.
Oh, so LeBron James opted out and still hasn't re-signed yet.
Well, he's really holding the Cavs hostage right now.
Because also Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith.
They probably won't sign J.R. Smith, but Tristan Thompson, it's very evil what LeBron James is. It's diabolical what he's doing right now. He signs basically people to his buddy's agency, which is really his agency. Yeah. And if they don't do deals, they get people, they threaten to pull them. Jesus. And now with the Cavs, he's not going to sign unless they give Tristan Thompson full money, more money than what LaMarcus Aldridge got with San Antonio. It's crazy.
Wow. Tristan Thompson played so well in the playoffs after Love went out that he earned a big contract. But once Love comes back, he's not really – he's going to get 20 minutes a game, so they're going to be paying him $15 million a year, but they,
Jeremy Lin
otherwise
also.
He'll walk. Somebody will pay him that.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. They're going to have so much money in their front court. It's like, who are you going to have in your back court?
They might not pick up Austin Rivers.
Who, the Clippers?
Yeah.
Well, it is. I feel that is a weird moment right
there.
Yeah,
that's what they just said. The next family dinner is going to be real fucking awkward.
Like, when you don't pick up your son, that's a weird moment. And Austin Rivers played pretty well. I think if you ask the
But it's also, like, it puts him in such a hard position. Because it's like, if he doesn't pick up his son, it's like, yeah, it's weird. But also, if it's like, he does pick up his son, and people, like, even have that slight doubt that he's not worth picking up, then they're just like, oh, of course, he's just going to pick up. You know, he's going to get that argument.
Well, his dad's in trouble right now because his dad has to fill in a big hole that DeAndre Jordan left, which here's my opinion on DeAndre. What do you think about a training correspondent? I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I think the Clippers are in trouble. I mean, I think if he could have just accepted his role, then it would have been fine. They would have had another shot next year in the playoffs, but I think they need to try to replace him somehow, maybe Jordan Hill or something. I mean, they got Paul Pierce. I think that's an upgrade over Matt Barnes. I think that's good. But
that's a big
that,
pickup.
The
There's a
trouble.
Couple people that I like. They're talking about this McGee kid who this Javé McGee who I've been pushing, but I'm starting to think that maybe he's a little more injured than anybody really is letting on. Because there's no reason not to sign this guy. Well, what the Clippers are trying to do right now is they're trying to move Jamal Crawford to Cleveland for their $10 million contract of Brandon Haywood, which you can cut. It's not guaranteed. It's non-guaranteed $10 million. So whoever gets that contract.
Why are they trying to free up money now? All the free agents have been signed. There's nobody left to pay that's going to be really an impact guy. I mean,
there's a couple guys, not a lot, and I agree with you like that because they really thought they were going to get DeAndre.
DJ, yeah. Well, I think right now, like, the West, if I had to rank the teams in the West to come out of the West, it would be the Spurs first now that they got Aldridge and David West. And then second, I would say, as long as OKC can sign Enes Kanter, they'll have a stacked roster. I think they'd be second, and then Golden State. I mean, and then maybe Memphis, and then the Clippers at this point.
Yeah, it's Memphis is good. They signed Gasol for a bunch of money. I mean, Dallas is just – it's so funny. DeAndre must hate CP3. Just must hate CP3 to take less money and a less of a chance to win. Unbelievable, dude. Now, a lot of people are like,
I don't know.
Go on.
I don't know what Dallas thinks they're doing. You can't build a team around DeAndre Jordan.
I totally agree, dude.
But he's not a first option. He's a second or third option.
He's a third to fourth option offensively because he has no low post moves. Now, what he's not going to realize is, like, life's going to be a lot harder when you're not benefiting from Blake Griffin getting double-teamed every time down the floor. Because they would rather have DeAndre Jordan shooting little dips and little shots and dunks than having Blake Griffin go fucking Godzilla on them. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's crazy, man.
Well, the Mavericks are lucky they have Rick Carlisle because that roster, there's a lot of talent on it, but they have to figure out how to way to like mesh that to as a team. And if anybody can do it, it's Rick Carlisle. But I just don't think with DeAndre Jordan as your highest paid player, you're really a contender, in my opinion.
Can we go through training correspondents' top his all tranny team? Like, what players do you think would be best trannies if they were all dressed like women? Which
now,
one?
Now or through time?
You can just
Well, obviously, you got
this is a tough question. The team asked me this once, and I couldn't think of it, but then I was thinking about it. Number one would be Charlie Villanueva because he has that rare disease where he doesn't have any body hair.
Yeah, it's called alopecia. My buddy from high school had it. Yeah, his
Wait,
body
not even eyebrows?
No, his body is allergic to his body is allergic to his hair follicles, so it kills it off.
And then at point guard, I guess we have to have Jeremy Lin. I mean, you know, Asians have that ability.
They got that great facial structure, too.
Yeah,
so just,
I make it, yeah. Yeah, he's got delicate hands. Wow, you got two of your five starting lineup. Who is going to fill it out? Now, let me ask you something. Are you going based on who'll be the sexiest chicks, or are you going by dick size? What would you prefer? Well, a little bit of both?
I don't think we'd have to worry about anybody being, you know, not well endowed in that department.
Well, Jeremy Lin.
The NBA.
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still 6'4 or something, 6'3. I mean, I don't think he's like, you know, he's not working with a thimble down there or anything. So I think he'd be okay.
Okay, so we got Jeremy Lin, we got Charlie Villanueva. Who's filling in the rest of these guys? Who are the rest of them?
I don't know. I mean, is there any?
How about Corey Maggette? I don't know why. I think Corey Maggette might be on your fucking. Oh, fucking.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe in his younger days he could put on a pair of heels, but he's in his late 30s now.
Oh, so
I mean,
you want.
What about. Oh, Steph Curry. Steph Curry.
Oh, Steph Curry? That's your shooting guard. So now you got Jeremy Lin, Steph Curry, and Charlie. So now you just need two more, dude. Who are going to be your two more?
How about this Lithuanian kid the Knicks just grabbed?
No,
dude. Like he's about
Chandler
17.
Parson is your scoring forward.
Chandler Parson? Okay. I could probably fuck with that, yeah.
Yeah, but do you want all black? Because I know you like black guys.
I don't like guys. Come on, no homo.
Okay, no homo. No homo.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you need one more, dude.
Tayshaun Prince. He's got that waif-like figure, you know. Tayshaun Prince.
Now, have you been following the summer leagues at all?
I saw that Croatian dude dunk. Did you see that?
Yeah. I'm actually. This is how much of a basketball fan I am. I actually watch summer leagues on NBA. That's how much of a basketball fan I am. Quick question. Do you think Milwaukee stays in Milwaukee? Do you think the Bucks stay in Milwaukee? Or do they've been talking either going to Vegas or Seattle, which I think they'll go to Seattle before they go to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Seattle have a team. I don't think Vegas will, or I don't know, maybe they should. It'd be kind of fun, I guess, but I don't know. I'd rather see Seattle get a team, but I don't know. I kind of like the Bucks. They have a lot of history, and I wouldn't like to see them go, but
I think the problem with Milwaukee is that it's a decent-sized city, but it's just basically in the shadow of Chicago, and it's really hard to get that. I mean, that team is great, though, dude. They got a good fucking team, man. They got a good team.
Did you hear the Warriors traded David Lee?
To Boston, yeah.
What?
Which is a...
Yeah.
Boston's got to love that. Finally, they got another white guy they can chair. That's all they want are white guys in Boston. They would love to put an all-white team. You know what I was thinking?
What about
permanent throwback Thursday?
Yeah. What's that?
What about Kelly Olynyk? Kelly Olynyk on the all-training team.
Oh, is that your power forward? There you go. God, you got it.
He's already got the girl's name already.
You got Jeremy Lin as your point guard, Steph Curry as your shooting guard, Chandler Parson as your scoring forward, you have Kelly Olynyk as your power forward, and you have Charlie Villanueva as your big, big, big.
That's so funny that you're
trading. Tayshaun Prince is my sixth man.
Oh, he's
like the biggest black guy for the white guy.
George Wallace is the trade. They trade Jared Wallace.
Yeah,
George Wallace.
He's useless. They're gonna wave him and free up cap space, but I don't know who's left for them to sign or what they even need. They're so deep.
Are you missing all your trannies back in Boyland?
Well, yeah, I've been trying to, you know, stay off back page and
how's that
turn
going?
Over a new leaf, you know.
How's that going?
It's tough, you know. You gotta rub one out at least once a day.
Let's end it on that. Just once a day. What time did I say this other guy's
1:40, so about 10 minutes.
So this is, if you ever want to call in the punch drunk, this is the time to call in.
Yeah.
This is the time to call in, man. I won't be here for the next 2 weeks. Right. I'm going to be at the Vegas Summer Leagues next week.
I do
it once a year. I go every year.
Summer Leagues?
The NBA Summer Leagues.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you just go and watch?
Yeah. Well, actually what we do is we drive in early,
and we go during the day, and then we drive home at night.
Wait, really? Each time?
Yeah, every year we
actually
do.
I guess that's right. So
it's only like a 3-4 hour drive. Yeah, and I love to drive to Vegas.
Do you?
I love it, dude. It's like I love zoning out. I can't turn my brain off, and when I zone, I just drive. I zone out.
Sometimes when I'm coming back from the store, I'll take the longest way possible home. Just yeah, it's just nice, you know.
Yeah, and you want a little break from your lady, dude.
No,
AJ
I love
Jamal.
Her,
I know, I get it, dude.
She
loves your
sleep too.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. AJ Jamal had the funniest joke. I was watching Comics Unleashed the other day, and he was just like, you know, I was, you ever go home and you see the light on in your house, so you just keep driving around? Well, I got pulled over by the cops the other day. What number is this?
That's it. Oh, that's someone else calling.
Okay. I got pulled over by the cops the other day, and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, that's my house. Like, oh, you're driving around. He's like, you see that light? That's my wife. I'm just waiting for that light to go off. And the cop's like, you do that too? And he let him go. Hello.
I know that if I get home before 2 and she's asleep,
come on, Sam.
I can stay out till 5.
Who's this? You're on with Punch Drunk Sports.
Come on, it's Don Carlos.
Don Carlos. How are you, Ryan? What's the word, dude?
Not too much. I want to weigh in on this big fight.
Well, how about you want to weigh in on Ari just being a bitch?
And no, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That big fight, dude. Because he's just totally pussing out on this thing. He's ducking and running.
He's ducking and running. And he fought. Dude, I don't know. I know we had a problem with going live, but I don't know if you heard what happened, but he just basically really went off on me because I'm trying to run an interview and figure out what's going on. And I shouldn't have cut him off, I'll be the honest with you, but it was just a weird trend. You know, we haven't.
I think you were just eager and you're excited for the
guy
calling
in.
Yeah,
because
I was watching you guys. And you were just basically checking your phone. You showed it to Frank, and you just went, "Okay, we got to get this going." I saw the whole transmit, and I was following you on Twitter too. So if you posted anything, I would see it.
Yeah, he's just got weird on me. He just got really weird, and it's very unfortunate. And he called me. Well, you're not the producer. That's what upset me the most because I work. You guys, nobody gets how hard I work on this show. And I'm the only one that fucking busts his hump on this show. Because Ari's too busy and fucking Tebow is too busy trying to get laid on fucking Instagram. Nobody, and I love both of them.
You can't blame Tebow for getting laid on Instagram.
I can't, but you're a 40-year-old man trying to hit on 20-year-olds all the time. I'm not going to hate you for it, but I'm trying to make us a fucking dollar here. So what's up?
He's trading one fight for another.
Yeah. What's up, Brian? How are you, dude? What's new?
Oh, not much, but like I was going to say, I got you because I think you got that Armenian, like, psycho
rage. Armo rage, I call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got that rage in him. I mean, because, dude, I could beat Ari without even punching him.
Do you think
I know that.
Do you think you beat him?
Dude, I used to wrestle.
I would love to do that, man. Do you know that Kate Quigley and Jen Sturger have offered to mud wrestle on a night if we did a fight between me and Ari?
Listen.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
As long as I don't have to watch them do stint. No, I'm just kidding. I would totally watch that.
I haven't seen Jen in a while, so I don't know how funny she's.
Oh, Kate's,
she's cool.
Kate brings it. Yeah, Kate's gotten a lot better.
I call her Katie Ice because she doesn't let the situation affect her.
Yeah,
she just goes up and
she
does her act.
That was the one thing that I noticed about her when she first started coming around the store. Is when she go up and was just like, oh man, she's not letting anything faze her. That's
she's going to be
weird.
Big because she's very attractive and she's very cool and she's funny.
Yeah, man, it's one of those things where it's like if she's just going to keep doing it, man. And as long as she keeps doing it, she's going to fucking. I mean, she's already getting good now.
There was a time when ugly people dominated comedy, and now that time is gone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to quit right now, guys.
Yeah, when you watch Theo Vaughn and Chris D'Elia and Mike Costa. You're like, okay, there used to be a time when clowns could be ugly. Now they all got to be fuckable.
I feel like those guys, though, if you look at them in, like, high school and stuff, those are the guys that probably weren't the most attractive.
I disagree.
Right? No,
Mike Costa was a pro
D'Elia?
Tennis player.
Oh, I mean, not including
D'Elia
Costa.
Always good looking.
Oh, I guess so.
His dad was famous.
I just have a biased view because I'm ugly.
No, you're not ugly, dude. You're not ugly. The guy who shot his face off, that guy's ugly.
Oh.
Ryan, yeah, dude.
I got you though in this fight, dude, and I want to see it on BetDSI. I want to see a line on that.
BetDSI will run a fucking bets on it. I just need Ari to commit to a date, but What nobody realizes, see what happened was, Tebow made the mistake of thinking he had to get the fans to pressure me to get into the fight. I'm willing to fight Ari. The real pressure needs to come from the fans pressuring Ari. Because Ari's going to do whatever he can, either one, to hold off the fight, or two, make the rules so in his favor that he can't lose. Which is why he's trying to say we need to do 10-minute pride fights. Rounds.
Just give him a 10-minute pride fight. Just give him that. Just give him that, because it's not going to take that long.
I can't run for 10 minutes, let alone fight. I can't masturbate for 10 minutes without pulling a muscle.
Once you close his reach, because you're a bigger guy like me, once you close his reach, you're going to tire the fuck out of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, I'm a counterpuncher. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about whether I have whether I'm going to be able to counterpunch that big reach. That's my only concern.
You're going to have to take like 3 or 4 punches, nowhere to get inside. And then, dude, once you got him there, he's not stronger than you.
Yeah, I know, dude. I know. He's starting to work out, which makes me nervous, too.
No, you're starting in the gym, bro.
Oh, come on. He'll drop that. He'll start smoking pot.
I got to go back. You know what I'm going
to do? Come to class with me, Randolph, bro.
No, I like Thai boxing. I like Thai boxing because I see it a little more realistic and using it in a fight.
What do you like more, Thai boxing or Thai food?
I like Thai boxing more than I like Thai food, even though I like pan noodles.
Oh, yeah, bro.
I'm a big thick noodle guy. I'm a big thick noodle guy.
Oh, no.
Hey.
No way, Thai food.
I'm going to come down to La Jolla next week. I'd love to see you, dude.
Oh, dude, you're coming down with Huck, right?
Yeah, Huck and George Perez, who I'm excited to bring down.
Perez, bro, that's great. Yeah. I'm so happy he's going, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome, you can get a burrito.
I'm going to come down and get a burrito. I need to come up with my own burrito so you can make it and put it on the menu.
I'll be there end of August,
We have the Fuck Vanderjack burrito named after Brant Tobler.
I like that, dude. I like that. I love that story, too. Ryan, you're the best, man. Don Carlos Tacos. A sponsor of the Punch Drunk Sports Podcast. Big fans, I'll see you next week in La Jolla, buddy.
I'll see you, bud. See you, Frank.
See you later, man.
Ryan Hill, there's no classier act than that motherfucker.
Dude, he was so cool the first weekend, or the first time I went down to La Jolla.
Yeah.
Still is.
Oh, my God. No thanks, Sam Kinnon or himself. He's such a fucking baby.
What happened?
He's such a baby, dude. He's such a fucking little baby.
That's how Ari's getting in shape for the fight. By walking
from
away
me?
From podcasts.
Yeah, I like that. It's such bullshit. It's such bullshit. And this guy's about to call in. I'm very excited
for
this.
Dude, I'm actually looking at this right now. If I kind of want to get better and in better shape to fucking play this. This would be great to go to. I want to watch
this.
Put
a team together. I think it would be really funny, dude.
Oh, I'm terrible at basketball, though.
But are you?
Dude, I'll fucking
coach.
What
are you good at?
What am I good at?
You're great at writing.
I've been doing all right at Smash Brothers with my friends.
What is that, video game?
Yeah, man, I'm decent at video games. Ah, God,
are you great at making love? Do you make a lot of love to your lady?
I would hope so. I'm good at making love.
What do you think about when you're making love to your lady? Do you just think about her, or do you think about other
shit? I've started, you know? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's get him. Very excited about this next call. This is a super podcast of awesome calls. I read about this on the internet. There is an amazing basketball tournament out there called The Basketball Tournament. You can find it at thetournament.com. Joining us from the Tim and Eric Show, and he's also the guy who put this all together, please welcome Johnny Mugar. Did I butcher your last name? Mugar?
Mugar.
Mugar.
You're very far off.
Thank you for calling in, dude. And, dude, let's get into this tournament. Awesome idea. How'd you come up with, basically, it's $1 million, anybody can join tournament. And right now there's, what, 90 teams in this tournament?
97 teams right now. I just have to thank you, though, for introducing me as a Tim and Eric Show staffer. It's been a while since I've heard that. So I appreciate that.
Dude, I love the show. I hope you're not offended by that. I really do love the show.
No,
and
I think
mean,
it's
you're
awesome.
A producer, right? I mean, you produce with
them
for a while?
Yeah, they let me write. They let me write once in a while, so that was great, and mainly produced. But they have a book out now. I'm going to have to plug that right now.
Oh, they got a
book. Outside Tim and Eric's book.
Yeah, one of my best friends in high school. I'm still a good friend. Worships
this
Tim and Eric.
This is Frank the Mexican talking right now.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in high school. I mean, I love Tim and Eric, but these guys, my friend Michael Guccione and Greg, they fucking like eat, breathe Tim and Eric.
Yeah. Well, I think Tim and Eric changed television. You just, for a while there, you just saw everybody kind of trying to do commercials like them, and it's just a pace that only they understand.
Yeah, man.
And the commercial was so bad. But we'll get into that later. Let's get into this $1 million tournament. Johnny, how'd you come up with this idea?
It's basically March Madness for anyone. That's the simplest way I can describe it. So I've always loved basketball, always loved sports. I've gotten into fantasy sports a little bit. And so, you know, the premise is if you're watching the NBA Finals like I was a few weeks ago, you know, why can't we have an event where you're sitting down watching as a fan and you say to yourself, you know, I want to be in that next year, or I want to put a team in, not only as a player, but can I be a general manager? Can I be a de facto owner and actually put a team in and then advance far enough to play live on ESPN someday?
And okay, so basically this is the second year of this tournament?
Yeah, that's right.
And last year the prize was 500K. And this year it's $1 million. How did last year go?
It went great. I mean, we didn't have a TV partner last year, so it was a huge experiment. We put on a $500,000 winner-take-all tournament in Philly to test the concept. You know, we didn't know what type of players would come out and play or if anyone would. We had one team in the system 3 days in. They were called James and the Dudes, and they only, I believe, played JV. And so, you know, 3 days in, I was thinking, it's not going to work at all. But slowly but surely, throughout the open application process, we got more and more teams, and we got an awesome field. Even Dante Jones, who's now in the Clippers, played in the tournament last year.
Really?
So we proved it. We proved that this model, this open democratic sports model, would attract an extremely high-level, broadcast-worthy level of player.
This is awesome. Now, basically, here are the rules. You got to be at least 18, no kids. It's free to enter. Now,
kids.
This thing is going to blow up. This year, you got 96. You might get up to like 200 teams next year.
Yeah, we were at 32 last year, and we tripled that this year, and we're going into four regions this year. So, going back into Philly, but we're also going Chicago, Atlanta,
California.
And L.A. with the championship in New York. So we are growing. I'm not sure where we grow from here, but it's going to be good to get games on TV and hopefully people tune in.
Can I ask a question? Who's like, I mean, are there like, are there any like super cool people that you've seen go in there? Like, I don't know, like celebrities or like really super cool sports guys? Like, 'cause I already know you named one, but like, were you ever just like, oh shit, is that fucking David Duchovny?
Yeah, pulling
threes? Oh shit.
Unfortunately, the Duke hasn't come in yet, but I'm waiting for him to get in. But I think Grantland's our closest to a celebrity team, with Michael Rapaport being behind that one.
There's, wow, really?
There's also a team called the Pistol Shrimps, which is all it's a women's team in L.A. And while she's not suiting up for our tournament, Aubrey Plaza normally suits up with them.
That's hilarious!
But,
wow.
Yeah, it runs a gamut. And so we got, you know, in the recent NBA guys that you've probably heard of, and there are a lot of really high-level college alums that play. We have like 20% of our teams are nonprofit or playing for a nonprofit, so it's all over the place.
I'm waiting for, like, you're just going to see, like, all of, like, the comedians that ball just show up.
100%. Now, here's the thing people don't understand. Now, fans have to vote you in. You have to get enough fans to vote you into the tournament, or... Is there any – why do I think there was a fan vote involved?
Yes, you're right. So it's free. Everything's free. You don't have to pay anything to play. All you have to do is create your team page on thetournament.com during our two-month application process. And then we're going to take the 75% of the most popular teams throughout that process, no matter what your skill level is. So that's how we end up with – we have no say over those teams. We just allow 75% in.
That's
just based on what effort they put
that's
in.
That's a great mix, too, because it's like even if you have a super good team and they just happen to have no people to follow them, it's like – that's actually really funny because then you can get those teams that just happen to have a lot of popularity and some good teams.
Why
like
not?
Good members.
Bringer show. Let's do this. Now, here's the thing. The fans vote a team in, and if the team wins, the fans get some of the money?
Yep, fans will get 5% of the $1 million prize or $50,000.
Whoa. Unbelievable.
That's beautiful.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Now, who won last year?
Notre Dame Fighting Alumni won last year, which is comprised of some of the best Notre Dame basketball has had over the past 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Wow.
Yep. And they're coming back this year to defend their title. We're giving them actually a 3-round bye. So they only have to win 5 games to win to get $2 million. So it's 10 hours of basketball for them.
Is this a lot? The guys who made South Park, they did that one basketball, not basketball movie. It was a
baseball. Favorite movie.
Yeah. This has a feel of that when in terms of the tournament and you look at the brackets and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, it's just, I mean, there must be a method to your madness, but this is just amazing.
That's so much fun. Are they going to have, like, tickets and stuff? Like, obviously, can, like, when you have the tournaments in, like, Los Angeles, can I come and watch?
Yeah, and that's this weekend, July 10, 11, 12, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can come. It's a day pass for $20. You can get it on thetournament.com. So every region has tickets available.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, I mean, as you kind of alluded to, you know, it's a crazy format. And what you notice is with the open democratic sports model, the early rounds are nuts. That's when you have all of these very passionate – they're serious players, serious teams, but they're – very passionate about basketball. They take it very seriously. And then once you get 3 or 4 or 5 rounds deep, all of a sudden you're looking at the best basketball in the world during that time of year being played. And you really do graduate into this unbelievable level of team basketball.
Yeah, and you got ESPN on board. How was that? So did they come down and they saw it and they were like, oh, shit, this is great.
Yeah, it was interesting. The first morning we played in Philly last year, Len Elmore happened to be there. And he was on the phone in the lobby of ESPN while all these teams were – or in the lobby of the Philadelphia Arena while all these teams were walking by. And it was sort of this Field of Dreams-like moment where these kind of these older prominent players were getting ready to play, coming on and off the court. And Len was saying to the ESPN people he was talking to at the time, you got to get down here and see this. This is unbelievable. You guys should really keep your eye on it.
Wow, dude.
That's perfect.
So
that's
each
great,
team,
man.
We know you got to run in a couple minutes. Each team has basically 4 components. You have the general manager, the booster, which is obviously this isn't the NCAAs, and we could have as much money influx into these teams as possible. Now, what is the role of the booster?
The booster is really twofold. Well, predominantly the booster is there to help this team get fans and get notoriety because such a huge component of this is getting enough fan votes. Every team has to get at least 100 fan votes to be eligible, and some teams don't have the vast social networks that others do, so they need to bring on a booster. Good example of that is like there's a really great team out of LA called LA Unified. I've heard some people refer to it as the 3rd best pro sports basketball team in LA, behind the Clippers and Lakers, obviously.
Whoa.
They signed up Nick Young to be their booster slash coach in order to help them get the word out about their team.
Oh,
so that's just somebody
great.
To help them raise their profile.
When will we see cheerleaders in this tournament? I think that's a big part, could help raise awareness and money.
He just wants
you might
chicks.
See some Friday night. That's all I can say.
Oh, dude, yes. Now who's doing your play-by-play?
Well, we're doing actually Mark Jones and Fran Fischilla are calling the games in New York with Jeff Goodman. And prior to that, it'll be Dan Dockich and Adam Amin in Chicago.
Oh, my God. Now, let me just – because in the future, I would like to enter this. So I want to find out – once this tournament ends, when? August 2nd. When does sign up for season 3 start, or tournament 3?
Early 2016 will be your next chance to get in. It'll probably be around March or April. We'll kick off the team application process again.
Unbelievable, man. Well, I can't thank you enough for calling in, man. You have come up with an amazing idea. And I'm excited to see it. I'm such a basketball junkie. Like I was saying before you came on, I watch summer leagues. I actually go every year to Vegas, so I'm excited to see this,
you wanna go this weekend?
Happen. I don't know if I can go this weekend because I'm scheduled to work some places.
Oh,
but and you're gonna be in town during fight week too, so it's gonna be crazy in Vegas. You got the UFC fights. You got the tournament going on. It's going to be a fun time in the 702. Johnny Mugar, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And good luck with everything. And I'm going to be in the tournament next year, man.
Oh, all right. See you there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in. Good luck with everybody. And, yeah, man, good times. Wow, that was fun.
That was great.
We got to put a team together, dude. We got to fucking put a team together.
Only comedians. No?
Well, yeah, we tried to do that with a basketball tournament, a basketball league where you only do comics, and suddenly you find these 6'8 guys who've done 5 minutes of open mic. They're comedians. It's fucking crazy. Well, guys, it was a fun episode. It was chaotic. It was weird. I know I'm going to take a fucking beating on this because people don't get what really fucking happened. We'll see what happens. Next week, I won't be here for 2 weeks, so Ari should be happy. And Tebow will be in studio.
Is me and Tebes next 2 weeks?
Yep.
All right.
And hopefully Ari will be online if he's getting over his gay, snarky crying.
Do you guys fight often?
Well, you know what it is Ari thinks it's funny to get me angry because he thinks it's entertaining. And I get it because he's not the first one to do that. Throughout my whole life, people have always been, you're funny when you get angry. So he thinks it's funny. But what I'm not in the mood to do with this show, and I will leave the show, is I'm not interested in being the Baba Booey of this fucking show. I'm not interested in that. I work too hard. I love sports too much to be seen as the punching bag on the show. And that means me leaving the show. So be it.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I'm just really over it. I don't know what. And I love Ari and his success. I couldn't be happier for. But if, you know, it's just I'm not in the mood to be the punching bag. I work on this show all fucking week. It's not just this 2 hours. And people like the show. Well, I work very hard on the show. Mm-hmm. To make it not just, because if it's just a podcast, it will go away. It has to be bigger than that. And it has to become a sports identity. And the fact that this guy, Tommy Toehold, loves the show, these people are starting to get into it, man. We're almost up to like fucking 20,000 downloads a week. You know? I mean, like we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great for a sports podcast.
Yeah.
That doesn't have like Fox behind it and stuff like that. To be an independent, it's not easy. So I will be gone the next 2 weeks. Frank, where are you going to be at the roast battles?
Yep, roast battling. And then I'm in La Jolla at the end of August. Should be finding out about Montreal in a few days. Just waiting on that, which is going to be fantastic.
Oh, fuck. I forgot to say one thing. My good friend, Anthony Johnson, he is running the Fantasy Football League for Punch Drunk Sports, and if you got to go to punchdrunksports.com, you'll find all the information. We're on FanDuel, guys. Join the Punch Drunk FanDuel Baseball Fantasy Leagues. The more people we get on there, the more likely we'll get FanDuel as a sponsor for the show, which will really help the show. So join Fan League. I will tweet about it all this week. Please join. Help out Anthony Johnson. He busts a hump for the show. The more you get into fantasy, the more you get into the show. Frank, thank you so much for coming on. Aaron, it's always a pleasure. We'll see you all next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please go on to iTunes and leave some good reviews for us. The more reviews you get, the better show does. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Love you guys. Have a great week.